The Lord is worthy and deserving of our honor. The Lord is worthy and deserving of all adoration. The Lord is worthy and deserving of all that we could give to magnify God for who God is and how good God has been to us. So our hands are lifted. It represents our yieldedness to you. Gracious God, we are yielded to you. We say, have your way. We say, continue to move in this place. We say, continue to speak to our spirits in this place. We say, continue to link us together from the virtual campus to this physical campus. We say, have your way. We say, continue to unpack everything that happened yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. We say, continue to break down, God, every obstacle, every barrier that has been set up to resist what it is that you have to do and you need to do in us. We say, have your way. We say, mend together those relationships that had been torn apart. We say, have your way. We say, heal, God, that which has been broken and torn apart and made to be ill in us. Have your way. We say, heal, God, in this place. We say, forgive, God, in this place. We say, mend, God, in this place. We say, have your way. Can somebody say, have your way? Can somebody type it, say, have your way? God, we want you to have your way in this place, not only in other people's lives, but in us individually. Move even in me. Move even in the things that I have going on and the thoughts that are pervading even in my mind. And do it for your glory, in order that we might be rescued, in order that we might be snatched out of the fire, snatched out of the grips of the adversary, freed from the scheme and the plot of the enemy. We're yours. We lay in your hands, God, and we thank you that none can pluck us out. And so wash us, make us, refresh us in this space. It's in Jesus' mighty name. The people of God said, amen, amen. Amen. Now let's take those lifted hands. Let's put them together and give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, you can do better than that. Let's take those lifted hands. Let's put them together and give God a hand clap of praise. You may be seated in this place. We are grateful to God for what God continues to do and how God wakes us up. Gives us the activity of our limbs and allows us to move about. And here we are, yet alive, to see each other's face. And so we have assembled in this place to honor you and to magnify you and to bless your holy name. There is a word from the Lord. It comes to us from Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts, right? The first five books. I know several of you are just going to go ahead and open up your cell phone and type in Acts, A-C-T-S. And so if you do that, you're welcome to go to the third chapter. The pericope is verses 1 through 16. However, I'll just lift in your hearing verse 16, all right? Verses 1 through 16 is the backdrop, but we will just highlight verse 16. And there, according to the New International Version's translation, you have these words: by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. And for a few moments, I want to preach dialogue with you along this topic: in the name of Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, in the name of Jesus. All right, in the name of Jesus. There is something central and common among all of us, and that is the desire to have control, especially over one's self or over one's own affairs. Power is also construed and understood in that term, power. We seek power. We crave power. Power is defined as the ability to do or to be power. In order for you to digest power, you have to digest the word ability. And the word ability means you have the means to do so. meaning you have the money, or you have the time, or you have the energy, ability. It also means skill, ability. You have the skill to do this. You have the skill to dance. You have the skill to sing. Translated that, you have the power to dance. You have the power to sing. You have the power to speak, the power to build, the power to encourage, if that is your skill. The word ability also speaks to this word, proficiency. Proficiency, grade school, you had to take standardized tests to determine if you were proficient in that grade level's objectives and standards. And so if you got a certain score, you were determined to be proficient at seventh grade standards and objectives, eighth grade standards and objectives. Therefore, if you are able to do the majority and or most of a thing, you are considered proficient in that area. And one way or another, most of us are proficient at cleaning with our lazy selves. Yes, you may not want to do it, but you are proficient at doing it. You know how to get the job done. I bind that lazy devil that would cause us to just pass on doing the things that ought to be done when it ought to be done in order that we might be and determine to be who God calls us to be. And that is ability. Ability is having the means, the money, the time, the energy, having the skill, the know-how, the experience in, or being proficient at the majority knowledge base in a thing. So when it is to say you have power, that means you have the means, the skill, and the proficiency at doing a thing or being a thing. Power is also the ability to direct or influence others accordingly. It is the ability, the means, or the skill, or the proficiency at impacting or influencing others. That means you are proficient at or skilled at getting other folk to do what it is you need them or want them to do. That's power. When it is that you can get somebody to cooperate, that's power. When you can influence somebody to participate, that's power. A lot of people underestimate their power. They underestimate the power of their influence, especially over their family or in their family. You fail to realize that you have the power. You have the power to influence your children, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, and them. You have the power to influence them to come to church. You have the power to influence them to go and get that job. You have the power to influence them to study and get the training that's necessary. You have the power and the influence to inspire them to be better than you and to go further than you. You have the power. I bind that intimidating devil, that deceitful devil, that lying devil that makes you think you are powerless, that lets you stand by while your loved ones, your children, your friends, your family, your spouses, those that look up to you wander about in darkness with no direction, no light to lamp their feet, light their feet and light their pathway. All the while, you have the influence, you have the skill, you have the means, you are proficient at it. Oh, but that devil, that deceitful devil, would cause us to think we are powerless. Power is also the action of supplying energy to a thing. Power, it is the action of supplying energy to a thing, such as in a car. Engines are powered by fuel injectors that take fuel and inject it into the engine in order that the car might be powered. That fuel injector is powerful, just like you. You are fuel injectors. You have the ability to supply energy. Things that are dead, dried up, you can bring life to it with your dancing self, with your humorous self, with your infectious self, with that good energy, that powerful, life-giving energy you have. You have power. You have the ability to infuse and supply energy to whatever circumstance or situation you're in. That relationship, it's drying, it's dying, it's waning, less in life and low in life. You have the power to infuse life in it. The Bible says to us, it says to us in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, and they that speak it shall bear its fruit. That means there is power in the tongue. There is power to cause life, or there's power to cause death. You are a power supply. You have the power. And we wrestle with power because many of us struggle with our own ability to do something. We struggle with our own ability to be something. We struggle because our influence does not carry as much weight as much as you tell your kids or your family or your coworkers or your subordinates things to do. They aren't paying you any attention. Your power source is in a whirlwind, and the fact that your energy is waning low and your relationships are flatlining, you question your ability to supply energy to dying and dead relationships and situations. We wrestle with power, and God says to us that power is at the door, but we've got to deal with ourselves first. In Acts, the 3rd chapter, we are introduced to a story, a familiar story, whereby Peter and John are being used by God, emboldened and empowered by God, by what God has called them to do. And you'll begin to see that as they are empowered, that power is something that we must understand and grasp. Power belongs to God. Somebody say amen. Power belongs to God. It says it to us in, I'm trying to find that text. Where is my text? There it is. Psalm 62, verse 11. It says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. Power belongs to God. That means all ability to do something, all ability to be something, having the means, the skill, the proficiency, it's all wrapped up, it's tied up in God. And many of us that wrestle with God wrestle with a power source, wrestle with obtaining and understanding and receiving the power of God. If you want power in your life, you've got to turn to the true power source. You can't come and operate in the world and in your family and on your job and in your life with not being plugged into the true power source. If you're plugged into money, baby, you plugged into the wrong power source. If you plugged into the white man, you're plugged into the wrong power source. If you're plugged into your job and your career, you're plugged into the wrong power source. The Bible tells us in Psalm 62 that power belongs to God. And if you want you some power, you've got to plug in. You've got to plug in to God. And as you begin to recognize the necessity of plugging into God, then you will begin to find a charge, a recharge, a surge of sorts, so that you might be emboldened. As we journey through the gospel, I want us to go on to another series. We talked about money, and we've talked about the role of money, how to get money, how to amass wealth. We talked about the proper regard for money and how you should think and the attitude you should have about money. But now we've got to move into a series. We've got to move into a space when we begin to digest and talk about power, power in our own lives, this power in prayer, this power in the name of Jesus. God is the all-central source of power, this power in the blood of Jesus. We've got to understand power so that we can have power in our own lives. But in order to do that, we've got to submit. We've got to humble ourselves. It was the Apostle Paul who had a revelation. The Apostle Paul had a revelation saying that I came to recognize recognize that there is strength in God. And so I have learned, he said, to boast in my weakness, because in my weakness, the Lord's power is made perfect. And so therefore, I will boast all the more in my weakness, because there is that resides in me, the power of God. And so we've got to go on the journey. Somebody say, go on the journey. We've got to go on the journey. We've got to go on a journey in order that we might understand how the power of God is at work. And so in Acts, the third chapter, here it is, John and Peter, they have had an experience with God. They have left the upper room. They have left the upper room whereby Jesus had told them to wait and to sit until the Holy Ghost comes, because he said in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Somebody knows the word. And so they had been up there for a while. They had been tarrying, and they had been praying, and they had been seeking God. And then the Bible tells us then that the Holy Spirit came and visited upon them like a mighty rushing wind. It was moving and it was blowing in that space, and it began to inhabit that place and fill them wherever they were. And as it filled them wherever they were, they became emboldened by the Spirit of God. You'll begin to understand that in order to operate in the power of God, you've got to know and recognize and understand this thing called the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Bible teaches us that when you are saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit. So you possess the Holy Spirit when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. That's when you possess the Holy Spirit. However, possessing the Holy Spirit does not cause the translation of power to take place, because see, you are possessing the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does not possess you. You missed that thing. See, if you were thirsty, you would take a glass and you would fill it up with some water, assuming that the Holy Spirit is water. If you take a glass and you pour water into the glass, you possess that water. You possess that spirit. But when you take yourself and you put yourself in a swimming pool, or you put yourself in an ocean, or you put yourself in a body of water, you no longer have that body of water, but now that body of water has you. Y'all missed that thing. And so if we're going to begin to understand and get into the depths of power that comes through God, you've got to embrace and welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when you begin to recognize that, you know that it's not enough just to confess and believe in your heart, but you've got to seek God and ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that you don't just have the Holy Spirit, but that the Holy Spirit will have you too. Y'all getting quiet in this church. The reason many of us are moving about without power is because we won't let the Holy Spirit have us. The Bible says, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. Some of us are so stubborn and so proud that we won't even let our spouse have our back. We won't even let mama or daddy have our back. We won't let another grown man support us. We won't let another woman support us. We won't let our brother or sister hold us down, because our ego is tripping and we feel we've got to pull our own selves up. I'm preaching to my own self, I guess. We've got to pull our own selves up by our own bootstraps. And because you struggle to receive, because you struggle to let God bless you, because you struggle to let your spouse raise you up and support you, because Moses, you won't let Aaron and Miriam lift up your hands in the midst of the battle, because you won't let people pour into you and sow into you and bless you and pour into you, because you will not receive and you're obsessed with only giving. You will not be emboldened. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. If you won't let a brother or a sister have your back, if you won't let a brother or a sister support you and raise you up, then how much more will you let the Holy Spirit support you and raise you up? If you want power, you've got to humble yourself before God and let God have you. We've got to get lost in this whole conundrum thing about power, this whole conundrum talk about power. And here it is, the Holy Spirit came and it breathed on them and enveloped them. Now the Holy Spirit has them. Y'all, there comes a time in our Christian walk where we must take serious the role of dying to ourselves, dying to our flesh, crucifying our will. Yes, come on, let me bring back that type of language. Dying to yourself, crucifying your will, putting your flesh on the altar. What does that mean? We are so caught up in our dreams and our ideas and our thoughts and our objectives and our ambitions, and then that trips us up, and then we start chasing after money and loving money. We know what that does. That leads to destruction and devastation, and then we get off track. And when we get off track, the only way to get back on track is to put that flesh on the cross, to put that flesh on the altar, to submit yourself and break down that stubborn will. You can't have two wills operating simultaneously. That means at the same time, you've got to put one on the cross and let the other one dominate. You can't run around with the Holy Spirit in a glass, grateful that you got the Holy Spirit, and you're still falling and you're broken and you're hurting, and you're not seeing the power to be, and you're not seeing the power to do manifest in your life, and your family is broke down. No, you've got to submit yourself to God. Put your flesh on the altar and let the Holy Spirit envelop you. Let God envelop you. Let Jesus envelop you. And when you become lost in Him, then that is the place then where God can begin to do a new work in you, and you will really see power. If you want power, you've got to die to yourself and put your flesh on the altar. You want to know why your son, your daughter, your cousin, your grandbaby aren't as interested in the church as you may have been or as you would like them to be? That's because they don't discern any real power. There's a lot of gifting, there's a lot of talent, there's a lot of skill, but there's no real power to change, power to do, power to be. And in order for that power to manifest again, the people of God got to lay down their will. They've got to break down their will. They've got to put their will, their flesh on the altar so that they can relinquish themselves of having to control God, but now put themselves in the hand of God to let God control them. That's going to also lead us into this big grace space of fasting, because the reason much of us don't have power is because we don't have prayer in our life. And the reason most of us don't have prayer in our life is because we don't see any results. That's why people don't come to prayer meetings anymore. We don't hold prayer meetings anymore, because you can have a church full of 500 people, but if you go to prayer meeting, it's maybe 5 of them, 10 of them, maybe 20 of them, because people don't believe in prayer. And the reason people don't believe in prayer anymore, why? It's because people don't see results when they pray. But people fail to realize the reason you don't see results when you pray is because your prayer line that's connected to God is clogged up, is gunked up. You can't get through. God, y'all don't hear what I'm saying today. Let me help you understand. My grandmother raised us up knowing that prayer is talking to God. And if you talk to God, God will talk back to you. Therefore, there is a connection stream that has been established. But what we fail to realize is that when we get caught up in doing our own will, when we get caught up in chasing money and loving money, when we get caught up in pleasing our flesh and running after certain emotions, then that prayer line gets clogged with gunk. Have you ever had to call the plumber before? Have you ever had to call the plumber because your water was getting backed up, your drain would move slow in the sink or in the bathtub, and you would have to call the plumber, and the plumber would have to take a snake and snake the pipe out in order that the water might be able to move through? The reason why the body of Christ can't get prayer through and can't see results in their prayers because they have no power in their prayer. And the reason they have no power in their prayer is because the drain is all clogged up. And God says in order for you to get prayer through and to see changes and results, you've got to clean your pipe out. And the only way you clean your pipe out is when you fast. Y'all forgot what I'm saying already? You've got to fast. When you begin to fast, that means you're dying to your flesh. You're putting your flesh on the altar. And you're saying to God, God, here is my will. Here is my desire. I would rather eat this steak. God, help me. I would rather eat this chicken. God, I want this salmon. God, I want this filet mignon. But I will deny myself pleasure. Yes, I will. I will deny myself pleasure in order that you see how serious I am about taking up your will. Not only will I deny myself the pleasure of food, but I'll deny myself the pleasure of social media. I'll deny myself the pleasure of taking trips. I'll deny myself the pleasure of going to a Buffalo Bills game. I just cussed. Oh, forgive me, God. I'll deny myself the pleasure of going out every now and then and going to the casino and spending my money any way that I want to spend it. Y'all got to understand that if your prayers are not getting through, it's because it's clogged up. And the only way you can unclog it is by fasting. And what fasting represents is sacrifice. What is your sacrifice? Your sacrifice is different from his sacrifice. It's different from her sacrifice. You know your sacrifice, your it. Not is your all on the sacrifice laid, but is your it on the sacrifice laid? That thing that means the world to you, that thing that has the most value to you. Are you willing to show God that God means more to you than that it? Oh God, some of our sons are our it. Some of our daughters are our it. Some of our bank accounts are our it. Some of our travel plans, they are our it. But God says, are you willing to put your it on the altar for the sake of clearing out your prayer tube so that when you talk to me, I can move? Some of us are asking God to move on behalf of our family. Some of us are asking God to move on behalf of our job. Some of us are asking God to move on behalf of our neighborhood, on behalf of our church, and on behalf of our country. But God says to us, in order for me to move, I need a big pipe. But you got a little pipe, and the little pipe that you have is clogged up. So if I can take you seriously enough, and you start fasting, and then you start fasting, and then you start fasting, and we start clearing out our pipes, and then we put those cleared up pipes together. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will fall on their face, and will pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. What are you saying to me today? If you need change in your life, then you've got to fast. If you need change in your family's life, you, your baby's mama, your baby's daddy, and them kids, and the dogs and the cats and the fish, we all fasting in this house because we need God to move in this house. And if we need change in this church, then this family, that family, this family, this pastor, we all got to fast so that God will move on behalf of the church. When it was that there was a national disaster and there was a plot to kill the Jews, it was Esther who said to her countrymen, tell everybody to fast for me, and then when everybody starts fasting, I will fast, and my attendants will fast, and on the third day after we have fasted for several days, I will go to the king for such a time as this to plead on behalf of my nation. That means if we need God to move on behalf of my nation, the AMEs have got to fast, the Baptists have got to fast, the Lutheran have got to fast, the Apostolics have got the fast, the Kojiks have got the fast, the evangelists, y'all not talking back to me, everybody have got to fast. It represents the clearing out of your pipe so that you can get through to God. If you want more power, then you've got to have more prayer. And if your prayer ain't got power, that's because there's too much of you pumped up in that prayer. And you've got to empty out your pipe by putting your flesh on the cross. Yeah, we know what you would like, where you would go, what you would do, what you would say, how you would respond, how you would dress, how you would do it. But if you want more power, you got to put yourself on that altar, and you've got to let God clear you out. Here it is in Acts, the third chapter, verses 1 through 16. We see two routines at work. The routine of prayer. At the beginning of the story, it says Peter and John went to the temple for the routine of prayer. And then after they went to the routine of prayer, there was somebody else there, Isaiah. And this other man was lame since birth. And he had a routine just like they had a routine. His routine was a hustle, that every day he would get somebody to carry him to the gates of the temple so that he could beg for alms and services from the people that were going into the temple. We see two
routines at work here. There's the routine of talking to God. There's the routine of praying to God. There's the routine of connecting with God, syncing and plugging up to the power source. And then there's another routine. There's another routine of doing by just to get by. And that routine is called the hustle. And here it was then that John and Peter were coming by, and the man was asking them for money just like he asked everybody else for money. And then the Bible tells us in verse 6, three things happened. Somebody say three things, three things. Y'all not talking back to me. Somebody type it. Three things, three things. Three things happened. A perspective shift happened. A benevolence act happened. And then power was passed by. What do you mean a perspective shift happened? In the 6th chapter it says, then Peter said to the man, after he asked them for money, he said, silver and gold have I not. Silver and gold have I not. But what I have, I give to you. What that means is, the solution to your problem is not money. The solution to your problem is not somebody that's bigger and not somebody that's badder. The solution to your problem is not somebody that's finer or somebody that's younger. The solution to your problem is not a bigger house. It's not a fancier car. It's not more money in your bank account. The solution to your problem lies in power. You need power. And that's what John and Peter was trying to tell this brother. Money I do not have. I understand this has been your hustle for maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Coming to the church, selling your cakes. Coming to the church, selling your pies. Coming to the church, selling this and selling that. I understand that this has been your routine. But what you need is not the power of the sale from the cakes, not the power of the sale from the books that you make, but what you need is power. You need power that's connected to this man named Jesus. And the Bible says a benevolent act happened. A benevolent act happened. They said to him in verse 6, he said, but what I do have, I give to you. That means Peter and John came to Bethel first Sunday and second Sunday, and they listened to Pastor Paul talk about money, knowing that the money belongs to God and that it is not our property. It is not our business. It is not our right to act like it all belongs to us. But what I have, that means anything that God has given me, the clothes on my back, the change in my account, the car that I drive, the gasoline in that car, the electricity in that house. Oh God, everything that I have, it belongs to God. And God has sent me to you for a time such as this. So from what I have, I give it to you. That means I need to be benevolent. I have to give you something that's going to change you. I've got to give you something that's going to bless you. I've got to give you something that's going to shift you. And I can only give it to you if I've been plugged up to the source. If I haven't been plugged up to the source, then I think money going to handle it. If I haven't been plugged up to the source, then I think clothes is going to handle it. If I haven't been plugged up to the source, then I feel like food is going to have it. But no, that's not really what you need. What you need is somebody that's been plugged up to the source. And so what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk, walk, walk. Walk, walk, walk. He says to this man, I give you power to do something that you could not do before. I give you power to be something that you could not be before, because I was plugged up to the source. I am now a conduit of power, and now I can influence you to be a better you. I can influence you to do a better you. I can influence you by the power of God. And what do we see happens? This man receives the power of God because he said it was in the name of Jesus. Y'all, the Bible tells us that there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved, whereby at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and at the name of Jesus every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean? That means in the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. That means there are means in the name of Jesus. There is skill in the name of Jesus. There is proficiency in the name of Jesus. I wish to God I had somebody that was proficient in Jesus. Have I got anybody that's proficient in Jesus? That means you know how to lay down your flesh on the altar and say, not my will, but thy will be done. Is there anybody at Bethel that's proficient in Jesus, that knows for God I'll live and for God I'll die? Is there anybody at Bethel that's proficient in Jesus? Because in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. In the name of Jesus, sick bodies must be made whole. In the name of Jesus, people that are bound got to be set free. Oh, is there anybody at Bethel that knows about the power of Jesus? He says, in the name of Jesus, says it is faith in this name, and it is what makes him strong. It is faith that comes through him that completely restores and strengthens. Everybody stand for me. I need you to stand, and I need you to prepare your hearts and minds for how we might continue to receive and embrace the power of God. As we begin this next series, I invite you to a place of preparing for the fast, preparing for the dying of your flesh, the crucifying of your flesh, preparing for the exchange of your will with God's. If you want power, Jesus said, if anybody wants to be worthy of me, he or she must take up his cross and follow after me. Too long your will, your desire, your wants have run amok. Too long your perspective, your thought, your idea has run amok. Too long it was your way or the highway. But God says, at some point, I've been waiting. You've got to come back to this altar. You've got to yield your will. It says, because see, the way you've been doing it has been a burden. And it has been a yoke. He says, but when you come to this altar and you die to your flesh, an exchange happens. And then you take your burden for my burden, and then you realize my burden is light. You exchange your yoke for my yoke, and then you realize my yoke is easy. There is power in Jesus' name. There is power in Jesus' name. And as we digest that power, and as we open ourselves up to that power, we move and we let God have the space and the time to operate in our life. So as we do that, as the Reverend, are you doing invitation? You're doing invitation. Reverend is going to come and do the invitation to Christian discipleship, after which we will then continue in our worship service. Come on, Reverend.
Amen, amen, and amen. The Bible tells us that we who are weary and heavy laden, we can come to him. We can take his burden upon us, for his burden is easy and his yoke is light. Today, we are here today, assembled in this place, and some of us are seeking a lifting of that which holds us down. And God is saying to you, come to me. Come to me. Those things that we are seeking joy, peace, and power. God is saying, come to me. But I have what you need, and all it takes from you is a step toward me, a look at me, and all things will change. So this morning I'm asking, if you are seeking a lifting of something, if you are seeking a shift in your worship, the place to receive that is right here at the altar. The way to do that is to take his hand. And I'm asking this morning, if you are willing, if you are able, if you are willing and desirous of him, a desire to walk with him and talk with him and let him show you how much you are his, would you come? Father God, in your name, we are asking you to let us be those receiving hands that you extend. Let us be the smiling faces. Let us rejoice with angels as they see you coming toward the kingdom, seeking him for his sake and for his glory. Will you come today? Amen and amen, for I know you are on the way. Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, Bethel. It is time for worship through giving. It's a new year. Also, we've been presented with the opportunity to demonstrate our gratitude and lean of many, many blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Truly, we've been blessed. For those who are attending the virtual campus, the electronic way of giving is now appearing on the screen. For giving, simply search Bethel AME Church, Buffalo, for the PayPal. Use the church email address, buffalo@yahoo.com. Lastly, you may mail us at 1525 Michigan Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14209. The Bible instructs us, ask you shall receive, and do not grow weary in well-doing. You will reap the harvest of the blessings if you faint not. So please consider partnering with Bethel, Buffalo. God is reviving us. Your tithes or offerings or support will help us to do the work that God has assigned us. Will you help us? Let's pray. Lord, bless the giver. Also bless those who may not have been able to give at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have not already done so, please go ahead and give electronically for those present in the sanctuary after the benediction. The ushers have the baskets at the back. Thank you.
Amen. Our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I didn't even see Sister Zelma with that hat on. Just that. I looked and I didn't see her. Go ahead, Sister Zelma. You lead us, sweetheart.
Thank you. Good morning. If everyone would recite with me the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
You, Sister Zelma. As we prepare to leave this place, we continue to keep each other lifted up, especially the family of Brother John Hart, and we also lift up Brother Hiram Johnson. His brother and sister-in-law passed away at the end of this week, and so we're going to keep them lifted up, he and his siblings. And I believe you said your brother was 90, yes? 91? The brother that passed away was? 83. Yes, the baby brother. That was the baby brother. Yes, he said it was the baby brother. Yes, that passed away. And so we're going to keep him lifted up, he and his siblings and his family, as we continue to move. Continuing to keep yourself safe and cognizant. I think the news said we should have peaked this week, so that we should have. And I hope that still remain the same, that means we should start going down after this week, which should be a good thing. So let us continue to be in prayer for our church family so that we can continue to do what we need to do to stay healthy. Let us look to the Lord. Gracious God, for the spiritual deposit that is made in each of us through the hearing of your word, the worship that is lifted and shared, and through the prayers that are lifted in this place, we ask that you strengthen the family of Brother John Hart, his children, his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We pray that you be with them as we prepare to celebrate his life. We also pray for Brother Hiram Johnson Sr. and his siblings and family and the loss of Brother Hiram's youngest brother and sister-in-law. And we pray that even in this time of grief and mourning, you might strengthen each other, strengthen us, and strengthen them so that we might be able to process through and move through these hardships and difficulties. We thank you, God, that you have not forgotten about us, but that you have released Holy Spirit to comfort us. So we will magnify you, we will praise you, and we will thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The music ministry is going to lift us up. We're going to praise God as we're preparing to leave this place. Give me your fist. Let's do that fist bump. I love y'all very much. Thank y'all very much. Y'all go and be safe.
Yeah.